Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I feel like last week when we had our 100th episode, I just wanted to be like Questlove on Jimmy Fallon and just shout out, you know, 100. You know, he always does that during the opening song and just shouts out whatever number digits that episode is of The Tonight Show. Well, today's 101. So we're back to the basics.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where we just had to kind of boil it down, get back to the basics after we had a little fun talking to Dr. Burnett, talking to Ben Smith. Ben Milam as well joined us as a cameo for kind of recapping that. I think we got your mic back on now. But overall, just it's one of those weeks where it kind of feels like we do have to go back to the basics in 101 because it wasn't the best week as it related to William Carey baseball and softball.
Yeah, it was. It was a week in which we did the bare minimum. In a sense, you could not get swept at Faulkner.
Right.
Check. You needed to at least split in softball. Check. But when you lose in a walk-off in game three in baseball and you have a lead going into the seventh in softball and lose, it just leaves a bitter taste in your mouth, doesn't it?
It does. And you said it. The coaches said it prior to the week. They didn't harp on it with the players, but it was just side conversation in the dugout with me after the game. Just about Faulkner, how you realize if you get swept, two things. One, you don't want to get swept in conference. Nobody does. But two, if you were to get swept by Faulkner, that would put you in a tie for the SSAC, in which case Faulkner would have the tiebreaker. Faulkner would still have a tiebreaker if it ever gets to a tie at the end of the year, but still – you have a lead, a one-game lead, but that's still a lead. Is it two games now?
See, it was a three-game lead going into the weekend.
I for some reason, I thought it was just one, but I can double-check.
So they had five losses going in. Carey had two losses going in. So now you've still got a two-game lead. Carey's got four losses. Faulkner has six. So that's huge. And it was back to the point you were making where if we got swept, it was tied.
That's right. It was a one-game swing.
Correct.
So that's what it was in my head. Okay. Yeah. 20-4, the conference record for Carey right now. 18-6 for Faulkner. That's right. So one-game difference would have been both teams at 19-5. That would have been the tie.
But think about when you're the team chasing and you don't get that sweep and you're like, oh, man, we won two games. It feels like we should be within a game. And you only gain a game. You know, that's the thing is when you're the team that's chasing, it's really tough. But when you're the team that has taken care of business in a lot of close games early and beaten a lot of the teams that you should have beaten, give some credit to Carey in that regard. They've pulled out some tough games and not let a few nail biters slip away to give themselves this cushion.
Yes, and what's incredible is they've done it without their best pitching. You know, you think about midway through where we are right now in conference play, Andrew Shira has not looked his best over the last few weekends. And Matthew Davis has not been available up until this weekend, in which he finally pitched in SSAC play and pitched fairly well in what was a win for the Crusaders in the 7-inning game on Saturday. So if he's back, you feel a little bit better. But all in all, you were able to go on that stretch of conference games without Davis and still have been doing fairly well. You had a bit of a streak in conference play of sweeping teams dating back to the finish of the UT Southern series. After that, it had been smooth sailing up until now. Of course, you drop a couple of decisions to Georgia Gwinnett in a non-conference action. You drop a midweek to Mississippi College in there. But that's all kind of water under the bridge, if you will, because Georgia Gwinnett, really high-caliber team. You played them close. The committee knows that. Mississippi College, as far as Bo Chip Index, kind of acts just like an NAIA game. There's no multiplier added to that. So you just don't get the points that you would have for a win. But all in all, Carey's in a great spot right now for what is a possible SSAC regular season championship. That said, just a word to everybody out there thinking about postseason and qualifiers and all that stuff. Regular season championship does not get you an automatic bid. However, everybody knows that if you've done that much in the SSAC of all conferences, you're getting in the tournament. There's no doubt about that. But the automatic qualifiers for the SSAC are tournament winner and tournament runner-up, which means if you win your pool, you're in. Hmm. So that means anybody in those top eight teams that go to Jackson, Tennessee, if you win either two out of three or all three, then you're going to the national tournament.
Hence the Blue Mountain Christian path of a year ago.
Correct. They made it to the championship game against William Carey and automatically made it to the opening round for, I believe it was the first time in program history or first time in a long time. But it was a big deal for them. And they had gotten a big upset of William Carey the weekend prior, or 2 weekends prior, whichever it was, to get into the tournament field, if memory serves right. So they were on an uphill climb just to get to that point, and then they made it the distance. When their backs were against the wall, they did it.
Yeah, speaking of Blue Mountain, who also happens to be on the schedule this week, baseball and softball, can't help but go back to basketball season and to the conference tournament on the women's side again, and you catch a Blue Mountain team that we knew was extremely talented all season long. And they get hot, they win day one, they carry that momentum in, knock out Carey, and then go on that magical run of 4 wins in 4 days and get to their first ever NAI National Tournament appearance and almost pulled an upset in the first round in Oklahoma up in Langston. So a lot going on there. And I have been the big proponent of, hey, Carey, it's time now that you view that as much of a rivalry as Blue Mountain views Carey as a rival, right? Carey's had so much historical success, sometimes that can be difficult. But with Blue Mountain being brought up by their momentum and the momentum of the league itself and just all of the momentum of the Southern States, you're going to see that again this weekend. Carey's going to have their hands full when they go play at Blue Mountain. I would have to think that would be the most highly attended games of the year for both Blue Mountain softball and baseball. Would that be a safe, a nice short limb to climb out on to say that?
I would say so. Yeah. The only thing that's against people is that it's Easter weekend.
Sure.
So you'll have some people traveling around, and so maybe baseball's not at the forefront of the brain. Or it's people that say, let's get a couple baseball games in on Friday, Saturday, and then go wherever it is we're going on Sunday. But that said, it is a holiday for some people on Good Friday, so that would free them up to come to the ballpark if that's what they desire to do on Friday. So there's all different ways to look at it. But you're right. From a competition level standpoint, a lot of eyes on William Carey being in the softball and baseball competitions this weekend. So in looking back, the Blue Mountain Christian did not have a good weekend in baseball. They played a Mobile team that is fresh off of a rock'em sock'em knockdown drag out with Spring Hill in the midweek. And I never saw whether or not they actually had suspensions that had to be served over the weekend or not. It didn't matter if they did, because they run ruled Blue Mountain Christian 12-2 in game one. Come back and win the second game of the doubleheader 5-2. And then they played a single game Saturday, and Mobile narrowly edged out Blue Mountain Christian 10-9.
Did you mean to be quite so subtle that it might have gone over some of our podcasters' heads, some of the listeners' heads?
Yes, there was a fight that happened between Mobile and Spring Hill.
It was a knockdown drag out. Yeah,
extra innings between kind of the pitcher and a batter, the pitcher of Mobile versus batter of Spring Hill at the time.
A little trash talking.
A lot of trash talk, and then all of a sudden went to fisticuffs. It was just after a foul ball, wasn't it? You know, just a foul ball behind home plate.
It would have had to have been an out that was recorded there. So the pitcher's like almost on the first baseline.
Yeah, I think the catcher must have called
bowing up, flexing and bowing up and talking trash to the batter. Well, that didn't go over too well. Needless to say, that cleared the benches. And so just think a good old bench clearing brawl, much in the likes that you've seen throughout the years on SportsCenter and so forth. And you're right there. you were right there with this one.
But all in all, so Blue Mountain Christian drops 3 decisions to Mobile over the weekend over what I would have assumed would have been a team with at least one, if not a couple, ejections, which may have been their starting pitcher from the midweek, who probably wouldn't have tossed anyway. Or maybe it was a relief arm. It was the 11th inning. It had to be a reliever. But nevertheless, it did not bother them entirely, except maybe till that last game in which, again, it was a narrow defeat for Blue Mountain Christian 10-9.
Potentially, does that kind of snap Mobile out of their little bit of a funk? Does that kind of wake them up a little bit? I mean, it had to have been, I would think, a team that got challenged pretty hard by the coaching staff after that, because Mobile, much like William Carey, that doesn't fly there. And so, you know, we've been making light of it a little bit just because, you know, baseball, hockey, and the fights and things of that nature. But no, that doesn't fly with Mobile's program. So that could be a spark for them for the rest of the season.
It could be. They've got a tough hill to climb. They've got Middle Georgia State next week, who's only a half game back from Mobile's position in the standings, and then finish up with Faulkner. So that's a tough set of conference games as they sit just one game above 500 right now in the SSAC. But to get a broader scope of the entire landscape of NAIA baseball, we are going to welcome Taylor Thomas onto the airwaves, host of the NAIA Ball podcast. He'll be with us next as we continue on Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Just realized in the first segment I didn't take the chance to introduce ourselves to anybody that's new to the podcast or the show. Caleb Hamill, Josh West is to my right. Dalton Stanford behind the board for us here in our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. Glad to have you with us here on this Monday as we talk everything William Carey Athletics, especially baseball and softball, as we wind down the clock. But before we jump in too much further with those batted ball sports, shout out to Coach Lux and the tennis programs for getting regular season SSAC titles over the past few weeks. The men got theirs prior to the last episode that we had. Forgot to mention it. And then the women locked up theirs. It took them just one more game to get official because there were some tiebreakers to where they could have shared. But all in all, great showing, great victories this year, and they are in prime position. Meanwhile, golf is gearing up for their SSAC tournament run, women playing, as a matter of fact, this week. But back to the hardball itself, that is baseball, and to talk a little bit about the national landscape of what our sport and the NAIA looks like, we brought on Taylor Thomas, one of the hosts of the NAIA Ball podcast, and all kinds of different fun stuff you can check out on Twitter, or X as it's called now. Just search for NAIA Ball. Taylor is one of the masterminds behind the madness over there. And Taylor, you have gotten a glimpse of what has been a thrilling NAIA baseball season so far. And there are a lot of big characters to get to talk about. But first of all, welcome in.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys and your team having me on tonight to talk some NAIA baseball. And like you just mentioned there, Caleb, this year has been pretty unprecedented as far as I feel like every week when we sit down and prep our own show, I feel like we have at least 5, 10, and sometimes even already this year, 15 upsets in the top 25. And it's been very, very exciting to monitor throughout the season.
Now, just to kind of localize it first, then we can get broader in scope. You guys had a fun little thing on Friday night this past week as you were simulcasting William Carey versus Faulkner in kind of a chat room style event to where you and your co-hosts were watching the game, commenting on it, while also talking about general NAIA baseball things at large at the moment. That was kind of a fun deal that you don't always get to do often, but it was kind of a fun deal where y'all were all free at the same time and able to catch a good game late in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Myself and one of the other masterminds behind our team over at NAI Ball, Connor Darnell, who's our vice president and does an incredible job with our graphics. Be sure to check him out too, because he is a super, super talented guy. But we every week we highlight a series around the nation, and that so happened to be William Carey and Faulkner, two top 10 programs and two blue bloods at the NAIA level of baseball. Coach Halford and Coach McCarthy are mainstays in the World Series. And last week we had a really, really fun one with our big series of the week, which is sponsored by the Show Me Collegiate League. William Carey and Faulkner went at it in a thrilling Southern States Athletic Conference series. Faulkner was able to take that one in walk-off fashion there on Saturday. But like you said, Friday night, we had a really, really good one under the lights in Montgomery.
Yeah, hey, we didn't have a little bit more scoring for you. Would have preferred if you had had that seven-inning game on Saturday. But you know what? Overall, you're right. It was a great series. And like Josh and I were talking about just earlier, because Carey didn't get swept, it sets them up better for the SSAC standings as it continues on through the season. Whereas if you had gotten swept at Faulkner, these two teams would be tied right now with Faulkner having the tiebreaker. Now, as it stands, Carey is two games ahead in first place with just two more series to go. Now, I want to turn our attention to the national landscape, Taylor, and I don't think we can look at it from a 10,000-foot view without seeing what LSU Shreveport's been able to do this season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a story that has been picked up by a lot of media outlets, not just us at the NAI level. I've seen it all over the country, and it's been fun to monitor their team throughout the course of this season. Coach Brad Neffendorf over there, he is much like William Carey and Faulkner. They're one of the blue blood programs at this level, and obviously what they've done, starting out 40-0 now. With a very, very complete ball club, both on the mound, that gets highlighted. They have three of probably the top five arms at the NAI, highlighting their weekend pitching rotation. But even on offense, too, they found ways to win ball games. And when you get to this point of the season and you're still undefeated at 40-0, that's pretty unprecedented no matter what level of baseball you're looking at.
Hey, this is Josh over here with Caleb, and you know, certainly thank you for all you do to be able to talk about this great product across the country and beyond. And for you know, fans of NAI baseball, you mentioned what an unprecedented year it has been in terms of the parity and the upsets and the excitement. But what are some of the names of players that are not everyday names for different reasons, various reasons, probably not the least of which being the fact that the media coverage is not there to what they're seeing on their TV every night. But what are some of the names of players that maybe, you know, 5 years from now, 8 years from now, are there going to be some guys that have a chance to work their way up and continue to play ball?
Oh, absolutely. You know, last year, actually, we had at the NAI level, we had a record amount of players drafted to Major League Baseball draft. Obviously, everybody that's a baseball fan now knows that the draft was shortened a few years ago due to the COVID pandemic from 40 rounds to 20. So it's made it harder on the smaller divisions of college baseball, not just NAI, to get guys to the big leagues. But right now, I mean, just thinking back to it, this year, I mean, we have not just a team like LSU Shreveport with the amount of talent that they have. You could see a lot of names get picked up by some major league clubs and some organizations this summer. But a guy in the University of Cumberland's out of Kentucky is Charlie Muniz. He just became the all-time home run leader and RBI leader at the NAI level. And right now he is approaching triple crown talks as well. So the talent at this level is very, very hidden, but it's also, it can compete with a lot of high-level ball clubs because you see a lot of our players go to these big-time summer circuits and compete with the best of the best and show out.
Yeah, a lot of the Carey fans just shuddered at the name of Charlie Muniz. He was the one that hit the grand slam that gave Cumberland's the winner in what was Carey's final game of 2024. So that's a little trivia fact for you there. If you weren't aware of that, it still haunts us to this day. But nevertheless, there's a whole another postseason on the horizon for us all. And Taylor, some of the conversations and discussions are shaping up when it comes to what teams are definitely in, which teams are kind of on the bubble right now. One of the big things in the hearts of Crusader fans out there is the hosting conversation. I feel like schools across the state of Mississippi, whether it be State, Southern Miss, Ole Miss included, are always talking about wanting to host postseason baseball. And Carey's been in that conversation the last few years and have been lucky enough to be hosts. With that loss against Faulkner over the last weekend, may have put a little dent in it, but overall, how do you feel the Crusaders shape up when it comes to being one of those 10 seeds?
Well, I think certainly, too, when you think about, you know, the top programs, like I was mentioning at the NAI level, your mind automatically goes to William Carey. You know, Coach Halford being the all-time active wins leader at this level, and then just the amount of World Series trips that they've had and the success that they've had under his tenure now. But just looking at this 2025 season, I mean, despite dropping the series to Faulkner, like you mentioned earlier, still leading in the Southern States Athletic Conference standings, up on two games. They have a big matchup this weekend with Blue Mountain Christian, and then taking on Loyola there at beautiful Milton Wheeler Field in Hattiesburg. I think they still set up pretty well. They always had a very, very tough schedule. They still, despite losing that series, not wanting going it the way they wanted to go, just looking at their ranks, still at 31-9 and 20-4 in conference. I think should William Carey, you know, get back on the right end of things and take care of business and, you know, get hot at the right time entering the conference tournament, I think they should be shaping up to possibly see another hosting side in Hattiesburg for another year.
We're talking to Taylor Thomas from NAIA Ball. Taylor, what's the big series that you guys are looking at this weekend?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because as we get later on in the regular season, this weekend coming up, all across the entire country, it is one of the better weekends we've seen all year long. But the big one we're looking at, you mentioned them earlier, LSU Shreveport sitting at 40-0. They welcome in Houston Victoria, who's ranked 19th in the country. And those are the two best pitching staffs right now as far as team ERA goes in the country. And you're going to have probably the two best left-handed pitchers in the country go at it on Friday night, the top two in strikeouts, and Isaac Rohde and Brady Parker of Houston Victoria. But Shreveport right now, should they take care of business tomorrow, that would also set up on Friday night for LSU Shreveport going and trying to set the all-time win streak record with 41 games. The record, they could tie it tomorrow with a midweek win against Nelson with 41, but this weekend in Shreveport at Pilot Field, if you're a fan of pitching and really just a talented baseball group, you definitely need to tune into that one.
Taylor, where can everybody go to find out more?
You can follow us on Twitter or X. That still confused me, Caleb, at NAI Ball. Same on Instagram, at NAI Ball, and Facebook, at NAI Ball. You can also visit our website, www.naiball.org. We have, as you mentioned, big series of the week articles, player of the week, team of the week articles, and postseason talk throughout 24/7 throughout all of those outlets.
Man, it is such a joy to have you on. We'll probably have to get you back on once it comes to postseason beginning and preview some of the opening rounds. But great information, Taylor, and you and Connor and Robbie and all those guys. Continue the good work y'all do over there on your side of things, covering what is an important thing in NAIA baseball. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate you guys for having me on, and looking forward to it.
All right. That is Taylor Thomas, co-host of the NAIA Ball podcast and a big contributor to all the NAIA Ball platforms on social media and their website as well. Good information, Josh. We'll turn our attention to softball and the weekend Carey had against Mobile when we come back as we continue on Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I appreciate Taylor Thomas taking some time out of his day to join us here on Crusader Talk. Good info, good insight. I mean, he's one of the main people that put final scores on Twitter or X. It's still going to be Twitter in my heart. He intently is kind of the main guy that goes and digs in all the box scores, finds the little details, and with that, he's become really familiar with a lot of these different schools. And you and I joked off air, Josh, that the only reason LSU Shreveport's got this win streak right now is because they had their game with William Carey rained out.
We can claim that.
That's it.
That's our claim to fame this year so far.
A little sarcastic next to that win streak for LSU Shreveport. All right. Before we turn our attention to softball, just to kind of put a bow on the baseball conversation, updated look at the Bow Chip Index. William Carey actually improves in their ranking overall because they got a win over Faulkner, in addition to just playing Faulkner for a couple of games, improved from 12 to 10, which is right there in that hosting conversation. LSU Shreveport, obviously, number one with that 40-0 record. Tennessee Wesleyan at 2, Weber International 3, Georgia Gwinnett, previous opponent of Carey's, at 4, Southeastern out of the Sun Conference, just like Weber International, at 5, and you got Reinhardt, Concordia, Nebraska, Indiana Southeast, Hope International, and then Carey at 10. Yeah, good teams all the way around. Faulkner at 21. If you're looking ahead to the teams Kerry has left on the schedule, Loyola clocks in at 32. But Blue Mountain Christian is all the way down at 102.
Ooh.
It's a little bit of a difference right there.
Helps you're on the road. Helps to actually that series is on the road. You could sweep that series at home and really drop.
So I looked
correct.
At this. So I was going to get to that. I looked back at the write-ups of the Boat Chip Index, and I don't think it takes into account home versus away. Now, basketball might be different because I know in the NCAA that RPI and whatever metric, quad, one wins and all that are different. The way Boat Chip works, and this is loosely paraphrasing, you can go find the finer details of it later. But you're split into quads. There are still quads. They're called something else there. Based off if you have a win percentage of greater than two-thirds, means you're quad one. If you're above half but less than two-thirds, you're quad two. If you are a losing record but above a certain point, you're three, and then everything below that is four. And so that's how you get your quad wins and all that.
Okay.
And then you get points delivered based off your quad. Strength of schedule has some other factor in it, and then your opponent's win percentage also has a win factor into it as well, I think. But actually, that may be only basketball again. But all in all, Kerry's in a good spot. Winning over a good team means you get good points. Losing means less points, all the way to 0 points if you're playing a small enough win percentage of an opponent. So all that said, Kerry has Blue Mountain Christian left, who is a losing record team by a slim margin, but it's still a losing record team. But then Loyola, which is a decent opponent, still left. And again, we're not really concerned about RPI or Boat Chip Index as much as Kerry's concerned about just winning.
Well, and, you know, when I look at, as you mentioned, and just hitting it again, Mobile at 27, William Kerry at 28. I'm looking at softball. Give me baseball number again, Boat Chip.
Next closest one to William Kerry out of the SSAC is Faulkner at 21.
Loyola at 32.
Yes.
But yet the polls, and we know the polls in large part are for publicity purposes and for, you know, basically to even say maybe it's officially a popularity or unofficially popularity contest and in promotional purposes. But in your perspective of Faulkner and Loyola, would you put them in that blue blood category as well? Historically, why they are so much higher with their rankings than they are in the RPI this year?
I mean, I feel like their RPI is mainly, or Boat Chip is just based off who they've played. Faulkner has played some tough teams here and there, but they are a true blue blood. I mean, they have a 2013 national championship under their belt. So that's still in everyone's mind, even though it's been over a decade.
But time flies.
Yeah, time flies. I mean, it's been since 1969 for William Carey's, but they've also been to back-to-back World Series. Now, that said, Loyola has been a tough competitor, but at the same time, they've been left out for the last few years, have not been as strong, but they are doing well enough in the SSAC to be in that conversation. It's a decent baseball conference, and it always comes with the territory of where you're playing in the United States. The southeastern part of the country is known for baseball. That's why the Sun is so strong. You see Southeastern out of Florida and Weber International, both top five teams right now. And so that is a big part of why, you know, teams like William Kerry and Faulkner are not only good themselves, but also have high strength of schedule because they're in close proximity to be able to play some of these other good teams. And so, again, I think Kerry's in prime position to take a hosting spot. If memory serves right, Southeastern has not hosted in the past. In fact, we hosted them in 2017 whenever Kerry made it to the World Series that year. In fact, walked off Southeastern out of the other dugout. I think Kerry had to designate a home and a visitor dugout that year. They designated the home to be the third base side and ended up walking them off on the opposite side of the field. But that said, Southeastern may have changed things up to where they actually put in a bid now, so that may be another host spot above Cary that gets taken. But baseball's in prime position. Softball, on the other hand, not so much.
I mean, razor thin, right? Right on the edge. Just right on the edge. I got ahead of myself and glanced down at my softball RPI. And so there's Middle Georgia State at number 5 in the RPI. And then you go down to find the second highest ranked team in the league. It's Mobile at 27 with the number 3 strength of schedule. There's William Cary at 28 with the 13th ranked strength of schedule. But William Cary right now, I think a knock on the Crusaders, unfortunately, right now, is that they are only 500 in the league. They are 6th place in the league. Now, they are sitting just a game back of being able to jump up another 2 or 3 spots. You've got multiple teams sitting at 11-9. But this is the weekend that Cary's got to go take care of business. Cary needs to go win, I would say, minimum 3, if not all 4, this weekend against Tennessee Southern and Blue Mountain.
Yeah, wins are a premium right now for this softball team, because I know anybody that's a veteran or just has had their eyes on William Cary softball in the past is thinking back to 2023 right now. Because when you look back and turn the clock back, William Cary towards the end of the year was right in the conversation about possibly hosting. You know, they were a lot better off than this year's team was at this point in the season. You know, right there in the hosting conversation, and then came the games against Middle Georgia, Mobile, and they faltered in those series, and they come to the SSAC tournament and they have a fairly quick exit. Next thing you know, not only are they not hosts, they missed the field. Yeah, it was a crazy year where there were a lot of automatic qualifiers that were not going to be at large bids anyway. So there are a lot of bubble teams that had their hopes crushed. And what's crazy is when you look at 2023, I use that as an example because it's one where Cary got left out. But if you're talking about what's the lowest seed you've ever seen host, 2023 is the first one that comes to mind, where Freed Hardeman was a 21 seed in the final top 25 poll that came out in May. They were hosts as a 3 seed in the opening round. At number 22, William Cary was left out of the entire tournament, which tells you how much can change between being selected as an opening round host and the final regular season game.
But and it also says how subjective it is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a true committee. It's very hard to kind of zero in on metrics. Remember, we were really nervous about men's basketball this year. Well, it turns out all the feedback we got after the fact, I think I kind of thought, honestly, kind of thought it was done after the conference tournament. And there was never a doubt that men's basketball was going to be in the tournament field. And so, again, you don't want to leave it, though, into the hands of the committee if you can help it. And so if you're Cary softball right now, any sense of being satisfied with getting splits of doubleheaders, which is essentially what they've been, this entire last two-thirds of the season, let's not forget the similarities to where we were to start this season and where we are now. Cary started 12-0. That included a 4-3 win in extra innings in Mobile, in a game in which Mobile loads the bases with one out in the bottom of the ninth, a pop-up bunt, a throw behind the runner to third, and Cary escapes. Then they drop game 2 on an unearned run, okay? They drop game 2 on an unearned run in the second inning. So let's fast forward to this past weekend. Cary takes the lead on an unearned run in the bottom of the 6th, and you're like, oh my goodness. Could we see the entire script flip? And could Cary now be on the verge of winning 1-0 on an unearned run? And then Cary ends up giving up an unearned run of their own on a bunch of really wacky plays in that top of the 7th that we won't go back into. All the softball fans that were there know. And so you lose 2-1, and then you're, thank goodness, able to get a home run in that second game by Layla Clark. And then you're able, and then Ryan Hornsby was fantastic in that second game, and you pick up a 2-0 win. And because you won the second game, you felt okay about yourself. And what Coach Fletcher has been trying to stress to the team, ladies, we cannot continue to be satisfied with splitting series, splitting doubleheaders. There was a sense of, you know, satisfaction after bouncing back and getting that second game, and he was still steaming over the first game. They've got to have a sense of urgency.
Yeah, must have the urgency, because right now you are in sixth place of the SSAC in the standings, which is not a good spot to be in, considering this league only had two bids a couple of years ago with Middle Georgia State and Mobile. But it's a much more talented league than it has been, a much bigger conference than years past as well.
They need to get to third or fourth, you would think. Okay, they need to get to third or fourth, and they need to have a strong showing in the tournament. They're going to be in every game. Neiman and Hornsby are going to keep them in every game.
Yep. Middle Georgia State at the top, Thomas in second, Faulkner third, and then Mobile and UT Southern tied for fourth before Cary is a game back at 10-10. We'll wrap things up next as we continue on a Crusader Talk. Some kudos to give to a couple different Crusaders as well as Crusader teams when we come back.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment with us as we get to talk about some of the individual performances over the week as William Cary dropped a couple decisions, a couple games, lost at Faulkner in baseball, got one win, and then softball split the pair of games against Mobile. A quiet week in athletics, by the way.
Well, and you know, and Cary did take care of business in a midweek sweep over United States Sports Academy, which
That's
was
true.
That didn't help them, but in terms of RPI, but I think it did help them in terms of just positive vibes. I thought Cary looked much more like Cary softball, and was just a couple of plays going their way from getting the sweep this weekend.
Yeah, one individual performance in particular, and you kind of alluded to it right there, was Ryan Hornsby for William Cary, got the SSAC Pitcher of the Week honors. Had a terrific game against United States Sports Academy, and she has been on the uptick lately. I got to give her kudos. We were critical of her over the last few weekends, and she came out and pitched.
Critical or questioning? I would have to say more so
maybe
questioning.
Maybe so questioning. Yeah, just trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
not
boy, she does it. Is
right.
She tired? Does she doesn't quite look like herself, but boy, she's really picked it up.
Yeah, she nearly had a no-hitter against United States Sports Academy. Ended up being a one-hit wonder where Cary run-ruled them 9-1. And what was a walk-off win in the bottom of the fifth. And then in addition to that, pitched Cary's game against Mobile in which they won 2-0. That was game two, correct?
Game two, scattered three hits. Yes, three-hit shutout.
Yeah, so really good performance on the week for Ryan Hornsby. Another person to note, back from injury, we kind of alluded to it earlier, Matthew Davis. Good to see him back on the mound for Cary as the Crusaders pick up that middle game win against Faulkner. It was a seven-inning shortened contest where Davis and I believe Bobby McGee tag team to finish that one out. But Davis's final line in that one pitched three innings. Threw 66 pitches, which was a lot. I think going into last weekend, they expected him to throw maybe 30 to 40 some odd for what would have been his appearance back. Ended up just being a bullpen day for him. And so they thought, or at least think highly enough of his strength to get him up to 66 pitches. And he only gave up one run. It was unearned, one hit, struck out two, walked four. Would like to see that ratio flipped. But overall, pitched good enough for Cary to get the win in that one by a final of 6-2.
In your observation, would you observe him as fresh?
I would say so. I mean, all of this has been not about recovering from some surgical procedure or anything like that. It's always been about rest. I think there was just enough strain and a little bit of overwork early in the season that caused him to need some rest and rehab. And so he's fresher, and I think that he is getting back to kind of stretching himself out to what is his full capability for the long haul of this season. And Cary needs him desperately to be in tip-top shape for the postseason because, and I mentioned this with Taylor Thomas when we were prepping for the show today, Cary's about to get to a point where there are no more seven-inning doubleheader games. you're about to get to full nine-inning games the rest of the way. And Cary is a team right now that can kind of ill afford having to pitch two more innings. You see guys like Luke Lissette going for extremely long relief outings. And once he's burned for the weekend because he's throwing 100 pitches unless you give him a much narrower situation because of good starting pitching. But he's kind of the guy that you go to when you need a bailout. And right now, Cary's needed a lot of that because Connor Wilson didn't have his best weekend.
I was about to say, yes.
Andrew Shira pitched okay on the weekend. He did not start game three for Cary. Corey Cook got the start in that one. And unfortunately for Corey, he gives up a pair of earned runs and two hits in only two-thirds of an inning. Shira goes an inning and a third, gives up a run, strikes out just one, walks three, also had a wild pitch and two-hit batsman. So it was not looking sharp in that game either. Preston Ratliff, I'd say, is probably your sharpest arm. And unfortunately for him, he got tagged with a solo home run that walked it off and got the loss in game three. But him and Luke Lissette together, two of the sharpest pitchers Cary has right now. And Davis could be the third one if he comes to full strength and can go those long outings like he did early in the year.
Not to put you too much on the spot, but on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the Shira confidence index right now? Is he still got a pitch or two that he's just struggling to locate?
I wouldn't even say it's a certain pitch or two. I think early in the year he wanted to add a cutter to his mix, and I think that's just been abandoned. But he's a three-pitch guy that just on any given day, I think it's just command, period, that'll be lost. Sometimes it's one pitch or another, but you know, there are times where the fastball's a struggle to locate. Again, 2 weeks ago against Thomas, it looked fine, looked passable, but that was against a Thomas team that really was not a strong hitting team. Faulkner, a really good opponent, that'll make you look a little silly, but good hitting doesn't account for two-hit batsmen and three walks and one strikeout, or whatever the number was that I just gave you. Three walks, two-hit batsmen. So I think it's purely mental at this point, just getting in the right headspace, the confidence boost that he needs will carry him through to the finish line. But, hey, got a couple more weeks. No more midweeks, so all of your pitching staff is condensed to the weekend variety, and Cary can use that as they get prepared not only for the rest of the regular season, but the SSAC tournament and the NAIA tournament as well. So, congratulations to Ryan Hornsby on that SSAC Pitcher of the Week honor. And, hey, Cary Baseball still in the catbird seat of the SSAC as the season moves on. But for everybody making the podcast possible today, for Taylor Thomas joining us earlier from NAIA Ball, Dalton Stanford behind the board, my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.